Okay, we're starting Perek Vav in Sefer Nechemia. Vayikasher nishma leSanballat. Notice how it's in the passive. It doesn't say Vayikasher Shoma, but when it was heard to Sanballat. Anyone whose name starts with a Samach in Tanakh is always a bad guy.
Sisra,
Sancheriv, Sargon, all these bad guys are all.
They all have shins.
All have Samach. Samach.
Oh, Samach.
It's Samach is actually there's quite a bit in the Zohar about the letter Samach. I mean, Satan is last in is with a Samach, not a sin. But and it's actually Satan has a proper name. Satan is a noun. It's like a verb. Lastin, mm-hmm. Right? Some say even when the Satan says Mishut Ba'aretz Shinvav Tosef Tavtes, it's connected to that word. But he has a proper name. Samael. Samael. Poison. Right.
Oh.
Sam is poison. And I believe that Samach is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet to appear in the Bible. I'm saying it's the first time it appears. All the other letters have appeared already. So
there's not so many words with Samach.
Well, there are the less common letters in the Hebrew alphabet, but still.
Because it's not a good letter.
Right. So they purposely, put off getting the letter in the Tanakh. So.
But it does exist. So therefore, yes, acknowledge it.
So, is there any special meaning to the passive voice in Hebrew? Like all the grammar checks on computers, they hate the passive voice. That's it.
Yes. So then a conversation teacher always tells you, right?
They will get rid of it and change it to a passive.
Right. So when it happens in Tanakh,
it was the big one.
When it happens in Tanakh, there's usually some kind of note that should be taken.
It's a trigger.
Some will be better than others to determine. I will tell you this: that a great place to start with is Megillat Esther.
Any book that starts with
Vayhi means. Yes, it's true. Especially Vayhi, Mara says. But the passive voice is so common in the beginning of the Megillah. Vayivukash hadavar, vayinosein dos. Everything is extremely much more common than in other books. Such a proliferation of the passive voice in the beginning of Esther. It's that the Jews have become passive. They just let history happen to them. And when Esther starts to take charge in the middle of the book, you don't see passive verbs anymore. Right? One year when I taught Megillat Esther, I think it was one of these groups here, I put a triangle around all the passive verbs, and you see there's so many of the triangles in the first few chapters, and all of a sudden they don't appear anymore. But that's certainly something to notice. Okay, so from Sanballat v'Tobia u'legeshem ha'arvi, these are Arabs, u'liyeser oivenu kibonisiyas ha'choma v'lo nosar b'paretz, when these enemies of ours saw that the wall was going up, okay, and that there was no more parrots in the wall. The wall was no longer breached, right? So this, of course, made them very. I just read an email about in UCLA they had a meeting of the student government to force the college to divest from Israel. So a graduate named Ben Shapiro, who has a radio show in California, made his way to the podium because they thought that he would join them, but instead he spoke out just 2 minutes about their hypocrisy and that it's not driven by any desire to help anybody, but just to the hatred of the Jews, right? So at the end of it, the student government voted down the divestment. 7-5 in a closed ballot. No one knows that there were 12 members of the student government who decided for the whole school whether they should divest from Israel or not. And when the anti-Israel people there went crazy. They started jumping all over the place and getting absolutely crazy and ripping out their hair. And said, imagine how, and these are probably Jews.
Unfortunately.
Right? They did went crazy. Like these guys here, nothing gets them excited as much as a Jew achieving.
On college campuses, kids go crazy.
Yeah, okay, but that was the last line of the communication that I got, is that the people who were so sure, they were so sure that this divestment would go through, that when they couldn't handle losing, that they it could be a function of their bad gamesmanship, you know, but more likely it's a function of their hatred of the Jews. Well, that's how these guys are behaving. Sambalat, Tobia, Geshem, Arvi, and the rest of our enemies, when they heard that we were actually succeeding in building this wall, they couldn't believe it. Who would have believed that Israel could achieve the miracles? So instead of saying that, you know, it's the truth, the Arabs, if all the Arab countries never had an anti-Israel policy, and just let the state be in existence the way it was supposed to be, think of what prosperity there could be in the Middle East right now. What peace and prosperity. No, they don't think that way. They think the reason why Israel succeeds is because she is acting in foul play, right? Which is what the rest of the world is saying. I really believe that the problem would fall away if there weren't so many Jews behind this. Right? There are Jewish, progressive Jewish J Street and others that put out these long lists of products you should boycott in Israel. Hundreds of products. I'm going to post this on a big board and say, everyone, go out and buy these products. You know, we should, Adarava, go out the other way and say, thank you for publicizing which products we should buy here in America. Right?
It's good. They take advantage of, that's okay.
Right.
You know, they'll use those.
To make more children, they'll go to Hadassah. Mm-hmm. A question, Rabbi. When it always struck me that liberal Jews are basically it's fear. It's fear of persecution, and
we're not like those Jews. Don't bunch us with them.
And so don't kill me just because my mother's Jewish and my grandmother's Jewish. So what went on before our first big defeat? Our first big defeat was Churban Bayis Rishon. And this is a result of it, perhaps. This is already modern.
Keep in mind that
modern self-fearing Jews, shall we say, or Goyim-fearing Jews.
The Tanakh is very. You can't bring a proof from the time of Tanakh. Tanakh, you had a prophet that's telling the Israelites what's about to happen to you as it comes as a result of bad behavior. And in fact, when the people were behaving very, very from, if you will, more from than, let's say, the Meraglim, by saying, what are you talking about? The Babylonians, who were a world power by then, to this minuscule nation of Israel at the time. The Babylonians destroy the Israelites? What are you talking about? They may have all the most modern war-making materials, but we have God. The God who destroyed the Egyptian army when we didn't have an army can destroy the Babylonian army when we do have an army. It doesn't matter what the size. They're very from. They're like Hanukkah Jews, you know, like Maccabees. We can defeat them against all odds. Right, but the prophet says back to him. He says, "You know, you're living in a pipe dream. That powerful God is not fighting for you, not fighting for a people where widows are mistreated." Right. So Yirmiyahu's call was not to hold out and fight back and be righteous. No, at some point he just said, "The Babylonians are coming, no matter what you do."
The people who are Jews who are opposing the building of the walls, because they're terrified that they're going to get hit again,
right, so,
and they're trying to disappear.
Right,
so this may be a modern divestment kind of an approach.
I would say
this is being documented here, not that the Navi is saying.
There's something possibly even more nefarious going on there. These were people who considered themselves Jews, no doubt. They're what we call today Shomronim, the people who were bringing the Karban Pesach, right? But they didn't feel that Jerusalem was holy. Their capital was Shomron, Samaria. Right? Har Gerizim was their holy mountain, not Har Habayis.
So the UCLA Jews' capital is Hollywood, or
but
LA.
But they're not listening to Spider-Man.
I appreciate the metaphor.
She came out strongly for Israel.
Well, her father's Jewish.
Yeah.
Mother's Jewish. Sorry,
Scarlett
Johansson is actually Jewish.
She came out and said that you wanted to do a play. She's an actress.
Oh, no, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She came out and said, Israel implies thousands of Palestinians in plant where they give them prayer time, lunch time, medical insurance, and all kinds of things. You think divesting from their product because it's in this place is a good thing? What are all these Palestinians going to do? How are they going to make money?
Well, let's just say she's a Jew, so. No,
I know people who are all buying. They're all buying SodaStream now, just because of that. Okay, let's go on.
Okay, so did I ask you?
Oh, SodaStream is Israeli.
Is that the first time there's a reference to Arab in the
Torah? No, we've had Masab Arab in Yeshaya.
But are these Jews, Aravim? Are these Jews?
No. Okay. It says, Gam ad ha'is ha'id de la sos lohem adati basharim. They saw that the wall was up, but we didn't put up the doors yet. Okay, so the la sos to close the fence. Right? Your fence is only as strong as its weakest link. Like, you can have five doors in your house. The house is as safe as your weakest door, right? So there's no door up in that. So we've reached. So Vayishlach Sanbalat v'geshem elai lemor. L'cho v'ni v'ado yachdov. So Sanbalat and the guy Geshem, they sent a message to him. Okay? Right? And so they said, let's meet at a certain place. Okay? In a place called Bikat Ono. V'hima choshvim la'sos li ra. And I know that they had intention to do me wrong. Now, Nehemiah is a prophet. He doesn't get his own book, but he's still a prophet. But you don't have to be a prophet to know what the intention of these people would be. Right? Or, he's writing this in retrospect. He's writing this 20 years later after it happened, and he knew by that time that their intentions were not honorable. Beshlecha lehem, again, Beshlecha is a so-called the cohortative tense. It should be Veshlach. Right? Veshlacha it's not only appears in the first tense and only in biblical Hebrew.
It keeps switching tenses.
Yes, but Veshlacha is like Ve'ekcho paslechem Masimo alai melech kechol agoyim. Right? It's just it's usually more emphatic. That's all. It's not to be darshan. So what's about to happen is that these guys, when they want to meet with him, want to convince him that the Persian king back home, who was so kind to you, gave you all these resources, is actually turning on you. See, this was their plan, to make Nehemiah think that his actions are... to make Nehemiah think that his actions are his actions are considered treasonous by the king back home. Okay? So he says, all right, Eshlecha alehem malachim lemor, malacha gedola ani oseh, v'lo ochal aretz. I'm too busy. What hard work I'm doing here. I can't go down. Send me an email. L'mo tishpas ha-malacha kasher ar peho b'iradati alechem. Why should you cause me to stop this work? Right, I'll be weakening my hands if I do this. If I go down to you, I can't even put off for a moment. Right, the structure will collapse, or the walls just have to be finished, and then we can talk. It's a trivial question. Who sent? By now it's five letters, Ms. Tama, right? He kept sending him back and back and back and back. I once said a shot like this in Shmuel Bey's Perkei Aleph, where it says that David sent for Bathsheba. Right? So it says, Vayishlach Malochim. He sent messengers to get Bathsheba. Nobody sent messengers. I would only send one, wouldn't you?
Sending the same one back again?
Right. See, or even different ones.
Why would you get a lot of people involved in that?
Yeah, you don't want two people. The Gemara says there's certain things you should never teach to more than one student at a time. Because certain things, you don't want two students to like wink at each other or elbow each other or something like that. Why send two messengers? I might have made it, two messengers fine if you want to send someone for an award or something and show them cover. But in this, you want to keep this as secret as possible. Right? So Malachim can mean he sent one messenger a few different times. Right? But here it's clearly sending, three or four or five times. So Vashivo Sam Kadavarze, and I kept answering the same way. Vishlach Elai Sambalat Kadavarze Pam Chamishit Et Naro. A fifth time, sent me another messenger, called back again. V'geret petucha b'yadam, in open letter. Okay. So, this is the chart. Right? Now let's see if... Because what is the objective of this letter? To get him to stop building. Right? So nothing hurts the Toby is Jewish, this guy. Some of that, not sure the different opinions, but some of these guys are Shomronim who are there's nothing bothers them more than to be, you know, Fashemtzich by the Goyim, you know. These are Woody Allen Jews, you know, all of a sudden they're quiet with every Kiryat Shmona thing, every time you know, they're quiet throughout the whole Holocaust, and then Jewish, there's a state of Israel, then they start waking up and saying, what world noise are we making? Right, Vigeres Psuchavido, this is the letter. Kasuba Bagoyim Nishma the Gashmu Omer. Atzova Yehudim Choshvim Limrod Al Kena Tavane Hachoma. We've given in a letter that says, right, it has been heard among all the nations, and this guy Geshem, you see, this is what we're talking about, right? Gashmu Omer, and Geshem is aware of it, that you and the Jews are considering rebellion, and that's why you're building this wall, so that you can still hold yourself up inside and rebel against the king. Okay. And now it's a hovelohem lamelech, very rare form of the present tense to be. Right? Biblical Hebrew does not have a present tense of to be. But just very few words. Hinei hashiyad Hashem ho yob miknecha. Right? The present tense of to be in English is. He is well. Mm-hmm. Hebrew, you don't have that word is. Right? See, you are good. At tov, tova. You don't say at hove tova. The biblical Hebrew skips that word. Right.
So there's nothing that finite about is.
It's not there. You know. This is a cookie.
Okay.
You say this cookie.
Right?
This is a table. Zeh shulchan. You don't say zeh.
This is
a table.
Zeh is
this
is together.
Okay. So here it's. And you intend to rule over them. I must digress that the Jews did get themselves into a little trouble with this. Because there was, think if you can, and it's interesting because Ibn Ezra claims that this man is Nehemiah. There was one man who was supposed to rule over the Jews. Think of his name, he's mentioned in Moses' Torah.
Zerubbabel.
Haggai said that Zerubbabel would sit on the throne of Israel. Now you can't call a throne of Israel while the Persians are ruling over you. You didn't have independence. That's why we don't say Hallel on Purim, because we were still out there Hashverosh, right? So how can you have Hallel on Purim, right? So we're still out there Tachshasta. Whichever king is allowing us to do this, Hashverosh, Purim, whoever it is. We're still his subjects, right? So there, remember, back and forth, there were some Persian kings who gave permission, who rescinded the permission. Even Koresh himself at one point rescinded the permission. One of Zechariah's visions is about someone wearing a crown. And it may be a mistake that the Jews gave to Bavel a little too much. Haggai was very careful. He didn't call him a melech. He called him a chotam, someone who signs decrees. Even when Yirmiyahu refers to the descendants of Yehoyachin, who was Zerubbabel's grandfather, they refer to it in terms of a chotam. There will be a chotam on my throne. Chapter 22 in Sefer Yirmiyahu. But Lemaisa, if the Jews did overdo it and started to behave like that someone is a king, this may be why Ibn Ezra thought that Nehemiah must be Zerubbabel. How come we don't see that Zerubbabel is doing anything? We just see him mentioned, and Zechariah is mentioned in Chag, and I don't see him anywhere. Unless he had a Hebrew name, Nehemiah, and a Babylonian name, Zerubbabel. Okay. All right, so they accused him of behaving like king, right? Taking too much kavod upon himself. I do see that Nehemiah was given to a penchant for kavod. Right? That's why he loses his book. V'gam neviim hem adatzli kro alecha b'Yerushalayim lemor melech b'Yehuda. And you even have called upon prophets in Jerusalem to say that there's a king in Yehuda. Now what could that be? I just make reference to it. It could be the vision of Zechariah with the crowns. I'm going to tell the king about these things. Now let's go talk about this. In other words, he's saying, I could be a help to you. Right? Let's discuss this. Of course, there's nothing but chicanery in this man's words. Okay. Only means him harm, but he's trying to convince Nehemiah that this whole idea is false. Though the Persian king has not been so informed. Right? First of all, I told him this is simply not true. We're acting on the permission. I have all the letters from the king. Remember, the king sent him letters in writing about what the plans are. Nehemiah knew that he would have to come to approach this kind of confrontation. Right? So I told him, Asher Atah Omer, Ki Malib Cha Atah Bo Dam. You're making this up yourself. You know this is not true. Right? Now, as I told you, there could be some small degree of truth to this. There might have been some Jews who looked at this, oh, he's Mashiach, he's what we call Melech HaMashiach, right? He's our king.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yep. Beshlecho elav lemor lo niyakud v'mayel asher ato amerikim limcha ato badam. You're making this up by yourself. Ki kulam miyar imosan lemor yipu yideyem min amlecha v'lo teyasev ato chazek es yodai. Because you're all trying to bring fear into us and weakening our hands from the malacha so that it shall not be done. Right? But in fact, you know what you're doing? You're actually strengthening my hand. This is a great example of Nehemiah taking something that is very negative.
These are all these accusations. Very positive.
You're twisting it into a positive. I'm not going to be weakened by your words. I'm going to be strengthened by your words. All the more to beautiful, beautiful input, how he ends up at Pasuk Tes. Atoch Hazek is Yodai. Right? The Rabbah points this out. Right? Adarabba, you, by attempting to weaken us, are making us realize that we have to even be stronger, and we will be.
It's like putting up the sign to buy these products.
Don't buy the products, so therefore we go and we don't.
No, right. We'll put up the sign. We should buy
them. Oh, absolutely, right. Your attempt at boycotting these places is going. The attempt itself is going to help support them. Okay. Va'ani basi beis Shmaya ben Deloya ben Mehitabel. Yes.
There was a share book.
Get him a chumash tanach. This is David Lazarson. Give him a shout out on yutorah.org.
No, I'm in that closet. A tanach.
left side there. No, no, yeah, the left side of it. No, no, open it up.
Open it up.
Look to the left behind the parochus. There's a bunch of tanakhs there. Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's a very powerful message, is that the more that you think you're going to stop us from doing this, the more chizik we're going to take in order to do it. Right? It's going to have... And I usually say politically, this kind of activity, Perek Vav in Sefer Nechemiah, page 1848, this kind of move politically usually has its exact opposite result. Right? And they say like someone wants to assassinate a leader, usually
backfires.
Whatever they try to do, kind of ends up backfiring. Lamaisa here, their attempts at getting them to stop building Yerushalayim is having its exact opposite effect, as what we were just bringing as an example, is that these anti-Israel divestment boycotts, that we have to turn their work, use their work. You know, they give lists of stores you shouldn't buy from, so let's publicize those lists. I didn't know all those lists, right? Let's publicize them. They did all the work in collecting them, so let's publicize them to millions of people to buy. So, Bani Basi Beis Shmaya ben Deloya ben Mehe Tavel, Pasuk Yud, Vuhu Atzur. I went to such a person, right? He was confined indoors. Right? Why would he be confined? Right? So, this guy was insane. He was a man who claimed to be a prophet, right?
No.
Now, a person who claims to be a prophet who's not really a prophet is going to be seen as insane by the people. Mm-hmm. The real problem with this is that there were a number of we know who were real prophets only because we have their books, right? Yeah, people thought that of Yehezkel and Yirmiyahu, right? And almost, you know. So it's just being a prophet isn't a clear sign that you're going to be accepted. When Yirmiyahu says, God, why don't you give me a couple of miracles like Moshe had, you know?
So, something.
I would tell Yirmiyahu, listen, Yirmiyahu, Moshe had a nice magical staff and he had miracles, and they still gave him a hard time. So you know, just do your job, say your truths. What has to be received will be received. No, when they threw Yirmiyahu into the dungeon for the 20th time with his face in the mud thinking that he's going to die in there, it was only one Ethiopian man who at the very very last minute saved Yirmiyahu's life. Who thought that Yirmiyahu today would have A, people named after him, B, a book, C, haftorahs that are read from him, and you know, he's the guy who managed to survive and his word got out there, right? Okay, so they went to this prophet. Okay, and this is the plot of Shmaya ben Deloya. So, and to get Nehemiah to sin. Let's see what the plot is. Right? And he went to this guy who was confined to his residence. He was like living like a hermit. Vayomer, Niva'ed el Beser Elokim el Tocha Hechal, V'nizkara Dalsos Hechal, Ki Ba'im Lahagecha, V'layla Ba'im Lahagecha. Let's go into the temple. Let's go into the Heichal. The Heichal is the middle room of
the Holy of Holies?
No, the Holy of Holies is the back of the temple. This is the middle room with the menorah and the breads and the...
Oh, okay. The Zarens.
Okay. So, let's go into the Heichal. We'll close the doors there because people have conspired to kill you. They're coming tonight to kill you. Now, what would be the problem with that?
You're not allowed to go in there. No, allowed.
Only under very, very, under very minimal circumstances, hardly anyone gets to go into that room.
Right, he lights the menorah.
The daily ketores, to light the menorah, to pick up the breads once a week, and to go in on Yom Kippur. But very rarely does anything go in there. Right? Blood only goes in there very rarely for unusual circumstances or regular circumstances for holidays, but. But that's a nice building, but it's not people running around there in great numbers. Most of it's done in the outdoors.
In the mikvah to get into there.
Okay, so he says, listen, get into the Heichal because you have to save your life.
But the assassins can get in there.
Well, yeah, they won't care.
Who's saying get into the
Hefa? This guy, this hermit prophet, says, Nehemiah, they want to kill you tonight. I've gotten an oracle from God. This is all
but
false.
Nehemiah's
right?
a prophet.
And they're trying to tell Nehemiah that you have to go to right now into the Hechal to save yourself. But Umra, Ha'ish Kamoni Yivrach, or the great Pasuk. And he said, shall a man like me be afraid and not confront my enemies and not confront my fears? Mm. I'm not the type of person to shy away and run away from a fight. Right? Umichamoni Asher Yavo El Hechal, Bachari, Loavo. What kind of person like me would just escape such a situation and enter the Heichal? In order to, I'd rather confront my enemies, right? I will not go, right? So look, when we try to convince ourselves to do something we know is wrong, it's wrong to go into the Heichal for no reason. But it's not for no reason. You don't have to do anything to save your life, right? So the question is Nehemiah convinced that there's a threat to his life? And he says, I don't care, even if there's a threat to my life, I'm not going into the Eichal. That sounds like what he just said.
Right.
It could also be that Nehemiah said, I don't believe you. I think you're making up this whole Maisa altogether. So go to Maisa.
Sounds okay. Like stand your ground.
Good. Lo avo, I'm not going. Ba'akira v'hinei lo elokim shlacho. There you have it. The answer is right here. And I recognized, either because I could tell when a prophet is really talking, or Nehemiah is a prophet himself. He has a book in the Bible. Right? Yeah. So now, Nehemiah is not credited with his own book. Right? If you remember, I showed you many times that at the beginning of Ezra, it says Ezra Nehemiah. That's one book. Well, they have 24 books in the Bible. Ezra Nehemiah have to be the same book. Right? It's Ezra / Nehemiah. Right? And that's the Talmud says because he took a lot of personal credit for things. So, but still, he says Akira, whatever that word, however that we understand that word. I recognized that this man was not speaking the word of God. Ki anavua diber alav v'tovia v'san balat zcharo. I think that he's making up his own nivua, meaning the niv of his peh, the expression of his mouth. And Sanballat and Tobiah hired him to do so. Okay, they would speak in high-pitched voices. Right, Nehemiah, you need to go into the Eichal. Okay. Laman Sahurhu, Laman Ira, the Esekain, the Chatasi. He hired him so that I should sin by entering the Eichal. Right? Vahyolahem l'shem ra, Laman Yecharfuni. And this is all done in the evil name, the scandal. In order to Yecharfuni, to humiliate me. Zechro Elokai, Letovio, Lesambalat, Kimas Saveila. Pasuk Gedalet. God, I want you to remember what these two evil men did. Vegam Noadia Hanavia. What was that? Noadia Hanavia. You ever hear of her?
No.
Noadia. I know someone named a child Noadia. It's very strange that they would name someone after such a. Yeah. She was a false prophetess. Uliyeser Hanavia Masher Hayu. Miyor Imosi, and all those other false prophets that he says Nevi'im, but they're false prophets, of course, who were trying to frighten me. Now, what's their dog in this race? Why are they doing this?
Because they don't want the world to be.
They don't want it. One of two reasons. A, they're self-hating Jews who so much don't want an independent Jewish situation in Jerusalem because it's going to bring the hatred of either other Persians or the other liberal and secular Jews who this is so again for today who think that we should just be good Persians and let's enjoy the bounty that the king affords us. Why should we have any aspirations at all about it? Could be that they might be saying, well, look, the Persians are still in charge. Until God's in charge by sending us a messianic figure, we have no business doing these kinds of things.
That's the same like Israel should be existing.
Something like that too. Those BDS people find great, great companions with the Satmar and certainly the Tzurei Karzi.
Right.
They make strange bedfellows, if you will, but it's something that they do share in common. Now, it could also be because these people felt that God's holy mountain was not Har Avayit, but Har Grizim.
Uh-huh.
Right? The descendants to this day are offering Pesach. Are you familiar with it? Yeah. on Erev Pesach, it's usually covering the news, certainly in the Israeli news, there are Shomronim, who can still consider that the Samaritan mountains are God's holy mountains, and they offer kabbalas there.
How did they continue? Was it matrilineal, patrilineal? Do we know?
I don't know, because they don't have an oral tradition, but they are serious, you know.
So it would be patrilineal if they just had the
chumash. Still, yeah. Not necessarily. I mean, it means either one, perhaps. But I mean, there are hints in the Tanakh itself that your religion is determined by your mother. I mean, earlier in this book, Nehemiah told them to get rid of their wives and their children of those women.
Implication.
Why would they send back Jewish children? They might have been
connected to the mother. But...
Still. Okay, so Zachorah look at the Torah and some about Kamasei Lekam Noadiyah Nevi'ah Yisrael Vim Asher Yom Yorin Osi Atishlam HaChomo Ve'eshrim V'chamisho Le'elul V'chamishim U'shnayim Yom. It's a goal of 52 days, that's all. Once they started, 52 days. Because they had so many resources from the Persians. Okay. 52 happens to be the Gematria of Eliyahu. I thought of that yesterday. I named the child of Eliyahu. Gematria of Eliyahu is 52. And that's the amount of days it took to build the wall. It's also the Gematria of Gedalia. I don't know. Whatever. Vayika asher shamu kolo evenu vayiru kolo goyim asher svirusenu vayiplu ma'od me'inehem. Vayidu ki me'is elokeinu ne'esesam alocha hazos.
Excuse me, you're building the walls of the temple for the greatness of God. So that gematria becomes interesting.
All right, yeah.
Gedaliah.
Here, this is
Mizno, not Magdio, right?
This is the pele in the eyes of the people. That how did the Jews succeed so quickly? I wonder if people, is it that could be that they're jealous? How could it be in this whole area in the Middle East, where it's the only small little strip that has no oil, no, but now there's apparently there's some natural gas resources that can make Israel to be an energy superpower.
That's all the hot air in the Knesset.
Yeah. There's a lot of natural gas there too. Yes, bags. So the Persians were just amazed. All these people were amazed at the success of the Jews. Whoever thought Jews could do such a thing? A bunch of these guys, you know, with suspenders and pins in their mouth, you know, with tailors. Whether the Jews, did you know how to do anything but be a tailor or a pushcart filler? You know, so amazing that the Jews succeeded. Gabi ibn Mahim, Marvim Chore Yehuda Igroseim Ocho Saltovia Vasholotovia Ba'os Aleihem. Right? So it gives the day that the wall was completed, the 25th of Elul. Right? It took only 52 days. Once they go back and see.
That's what the doors to?
25th of Tammuz. Right? 25th of Tammuz. So they right by Rosh Chodesh is when they started building. That's interesting because. Av was always a time we don't start things like this in Rosh Chodesh Av, right?
But that's the Raglim was Av. Also, yeah, Tisha B'Av was. Yeah. So it was way, way back. It was
bad. Yeah, but how do you know that the 7 days, 5 days before was bad? So the answer is this is over, the second temple is standing already. There's a Hechel. So when the second temple stood, these days became joyful days.
Tshuva.
So it's a good time to start.
Classic Tshuva, right?
And the beginning of Av, yeah, turn things around. Like he said earlier. Okay. Right, that's what he said. The Chazak. I got chizuk from their threats. Okay. Ki Rabim Bihuda Bale Shvua. Bale Shvua. People who took oaths. Right. That sworn allegiance. Right. Right. To the Tzim. Ki Chosan Hu Shanya Ben Orach. So there was some of these guys were actually well connected from the family. Some of these guys were against me, right? And people had sworn allegiance to them. It's not a good situation. because they're gaining power, they're gaining strength. Look at this country. I'm quite sure that the sitting president, as well as the woman who hopes to be the next president, thinks that J Street speaks for the Jewish community in America. That's the Jewish voice. After all he did in the first 4 years, still 70% of Jews voted for him. 78% 4 years ago. Okay, we can explain that. They were very proud of this country turning its corner on its racist past and whatnot. He was very proud to appoint as a black president. But what's your excuse after 4 years? You saw the way he was beating down on that.
He was still campaigning.
He's willing to disappoint all of his friends and allies in order to please his enemies. So here's the same thing is happening. Just politically speaking, these guys had a lot of clout, and Jews followed them. Jews who are ashamed of the fact that we're building up Yerushalayim. Why should you build up Yerushalayim? You have good Persians. Gam tov asov, hayu amim lefanayu dry, hayu motziim lo, igros shalach tovia liyareini. And this guy, Tovia, even as we completed the walls, right, the nations are all afraid of us, right? But the Jewish leaders in Judea side with this Tovia. How do you figure? Right? How do you figure all these? But that's what's happening with these Jewish academics. You know? What's amazing is that there's one divestment that occurred already against academics in Israel, which is all the more outrageous because if you know this political situation in Israel, Israeli academics are profoundly against the Israeli government. Israeli academics are amongst, like in this country, amongst the most leftists, the greatest leftists. So now, and they must be seething. Where are we? We want to join you in the divestment of Israel. Now you're turning on us. You know, good. Let it be known that, especially now, even at the highest levels in Jewish communal organizations, that say no, we just want to divest from the kaiki Jews, the bad ones who live in the settlements. Yeah, well, you're joining with real haters of Jews who not only want to boycott all of Israel but would like to destroy all of Israel, and you're making one with them. This chapter 6 of Nehemiah is so germane to today about self-hating Jews and a lot of these people stopping Nehemiah from building Yerushalayim were Jews. You saw two or three different reasons for it, but it's a fascinating chapter. Okay, so.